At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Let me give you a clue on something. You may not like it. God owes you nothing. He doesn't owe you salvation. He didn't owe you the cross. God was not obligated to redeem you. It's true. Romans 11:35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? Which is a paraphrase out of Job 41:11. Who has a claim against me, says the Lord, that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. How can you give me anything? It's already mine. Amen. Let me put it another way, in a more sense. Assume. I know it's some hard for some of you. For some of us, it's not. This is really cool, I got to tell you. My neighbors next to me invited my family over to come over for a party. They wanted a football day thing, okay? And I see that as an opportunity. So they invited us over and went over. And as you already heard, there was abundant flow of certain beverages, okay? But there, I saw a fellow who used to play for Boise State back in the 80s, all right? So I asked him if he knew player A, this other player. Did you know this guy? Yeah, I knew him before he was in prison. But boy, did that open the door. We got to talk about the change before and the change after. So for me, it ain't hard to imagine this, but you imagine this. You're in prison and you deserve to be there. The governor gives you a pardon. Do you go to the governor and say, excuse me, you owe me a job, a spouse, a car, a house? Uh-uh. You just glad to be free. Amen. So I'm going to just bring that into a practical thing for it. You got to understand that God's no is always merciful, even when it hurts. You might want to tweet that. God's no is always merciful, even when it hurts. That's why in Psalms he says things like that. He's near the brokenhearted. I'll come back to that theme. See, what happens is when we question God's sovereignty in our time of struggle, it's really a sign of weak faith. Now, Naomi, notice, does not question God's sovereignty here. So I'm not talking about Naomi. But when we question God's sovereignty, it's a sign of weak faith. Because here's what it is. We really don't believe when God says, for I have considered that the suffering at this present time is not worthy compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. Romans 8. Context, suffering. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For when we do not know what to pray, oh, I'll bet that's Naomi. What do you pray now? You've run out. You have nothing else. You're emotionally drained, and all you can say to God is, ugh! If you've never been there, I've been there. I don't know what else to say, God, but I'm in pain. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. If I could sit in on Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, if I could sit in on Naomi's prayer time, groanings too deep for words, how do you weep enough for lost children?
And he searches the heart, knows the heart, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he, the Spirit, intercedes. Now listen to this, not for you in that sense. He intercedes that the will of God, he intercedes according to the will of God. That might be that Holy Spirit's interceding for what I don't want. Even Jesus said, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whose will? Wait a minute, I'm not too sure about that. As long as his will is my prosperity and my comfort, I'm glad with that. But sure don't send life's troubles my way. I'm not into that. Come on, no, let's get real. Nobody volunteers saying, God, yeah, sure, I'll be Job, thank you. Nobody does that. Like Christ, God, if there's another way, please. But I recognize, God, I trust you know what you're doing, so your will be done. It is in that context of suffering to the point where you have no more words to say that the inner Spirit comes now and intercedes for you is where you get this statement. For God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to the purpose. You got to put that in the context of suffering. That's what he's trying to say to you. Do you believe, Naomi, when you lost your boys, when you lost your husband, when you lost everything, all things work for the good? Oh, that's easy when the stove breaks down and the air conditioning furnace system goes out. I can do that. Take my babies. I'm putting it in reality. Pastor, any more spiritual than anybody else? See, that's what we begin to question is God's word. Philippians 1 and 6. For I am sure of this, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion to the day of Christ. Whoa. You mean losing my boys and my husband? Is God working things to completion? Please, leave me incomplete. God, help me to be holy, Lord. I want to be holy like you are holy. Don't pray that. Because holy doesn't just, it means complete. Lacking nothing. You got to understand, the devil is a liar. Let me try it again. The devil is a liar. Yeah, that's right. Okay, there you go. I just wanted to see if you're awake. Watch this out of 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Be of sober spirit, be on alert for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We all heard that, right? Resist him, firm in your faith. Faith in what? Your ability to stand? No, faith in God. That means I'm trusting him. But the devil's going to come along and he's going to say, oh, don't trust this guy. Because if God loved you, he wouldn't let you go through this. But resist him, be firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of, that nasty word, suffering. Do you understand this? That context of the enemy running around like a lion trying to eat you up, that you're supposed to resist him? He's talking about that, Bill, in the middle of suffering. It's not the context of typical temptation. There's another one of those Mustangs and I lust. Not the horse, the car. It's in the context of suffering. The same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. In other words, you know, other people are suffering too, who are in the world. After you have suffered a little while. I like to grab hold of the little while. That's the part. Little while for me, 67 seconds. Not 3 years after breaking your back and being in an accident. No. That ain't a little while for me, God. For the God, listen to this word, of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself, here's that word again, perfect, complete, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. The context is suffering. The context is resisting the devil in those moments of suffering. What's the devil trying to tell you in the moments of suffering? God owes me more than this. This shouldn't be happening to me. Oh, maybe it should be happening to them over there, but not me. I'm a good guy. Suffering, when you come through, it expands your capacity to minister to others. Why do I say that? Because that's what Paul's saying in that scripture. Wait a minute. When you're suffering, the devil's trying to lie to you. There's other suffering too. Why does he bother to tell me that? okay? When you come through that suffering, God opens you up to minister to others. Now, I'm going to mess with you a little bit. You've heard, and we'll get to Malachi. We'll get there. Malachi chapter 3 talks about tithing and giving. Give, right? And God will open up to you the windows of heaven and pour out to you a blessing you cannot contain. I hate to tell you, God's never done that for me. He's never given me a blessing I can't contain. You got to listen. You give of yourself, and I will open up you the window of heaven. That's the language. You're the window. I will pour you out. Well, wait. When I'm giving of myself, you're going to give out more of me? Now, notice this. When you're doing it, that's when you get the blessing you can't contain. Because an open window keeps nothing in. Keep moving. Gautama Buddha, who is the guy who started Buddhism as we know it, and you have to forgive me, I know most of you don't, but I'm having to read Gautama Buddha right now for apologetics, says this, there's four noble truths of Buddhism. Life is suffering. Well, that's encouraging. Anyway, the cause of suffering is desire. The way to end suffering is end desire. So you should spend your life eliminating desire. Gosh, what a weight. Instead, see, for me, God regenerates, makes me a nutrient, and changes my desires. I don't have to struggle to, anyway. But see, Jesus gives a different answer. Jesus comes up with this, ready? They hate me, they hate you. They crucify me, they'll crucify you. They beat me, they'll beat you. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, and he doesn't blame the desires on that. But what happens is God's saying this, through that suffering, listen to the desire I'll give you. I'll give you now a desire for God. We all seen it after natural disasters. I don't care which side of the political aisle you're on or which side is, we're praying for you. After 9/11, churches were full. What did suffering do? This is whenever I do a funeral, I preach the gospel. So if you ever want me coming, letting you know, if your family's going to be offended, I'm going to preach gospel at the funeral. That's just the way it is. See, God will give you a truer, a more satisfying desire as he takes you through the struggle, okay? That is a desire to know God. And I have this a little further down my notes, but I'll give it to you right now. What is the greatest gift God can give you? Himself. That's the greatest gift God can give you is himself. Amen. Hey, look, I want to give you a gift. Know me. Well, so wait a minute. If he's taking me through suffering, he's taking me to a gift. Even if that suffering lasts till my last breath on earth. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. Well, what has it granted me? I've been given a grant for Christ's sake? Not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. I was doing all right till you did that. You can keep that grant. I'm not applying for that one. Hebrews 2, or 12 and 2, and you've heard this. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher or perfecter of your faith. Who? He's going to tell you how. Well, he's going to give you an example. Who? Christ himself. Who? For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. He sat down at the right hand at the throne of God. Keep your eyes on Jesus who suffered and endured the cross. And then he calls you, take up your cross and follow me. Philippians 3:7 through 10a. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for Christ's sake. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. For his sake I have, there's that word again, suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Or dung is a better translation. In order that I may gain Christ. What are you willing to let God take away that you know him more? Be gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. I did that right after worship. That comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. How am I going to know the power of his resurrection? Die. That's who gets resurrected, is dead people. That I might die. Why? So I can experience something of him I can't experience in this life. Resurrection. Did you realize that? There's a part of God you can't experience unless you die. And I'm not talking about heaven. I'm just saying you get to experience what Christ experienced. So you have to take up his cross and you got to suffer with him on the cross. But here's the other part. You get Easter too. I don't know how else to say it. You get to participate in his resurrection because this life is not the end goal. How many of you seen the thing around Facebook, and I think maybe went by email, how many of you be willing to go stay in a cabin, no TV, no power, no electricity, no water, all that thing, if you can have like $1 million when you're done? Let me suffer because of the end goal, okay? But I'm going to tell you, if you suffer a little while here for 70, 80 years, let's say all 80 of your years were suffering, would you do that for an eternity of not suffering? An eternity for forever joy? An eternity with that same Christ who died? I'm serious, you put this online. Yeah, but that's this. That doesn't mean much to me when my kid's suffering now, when I'm suffering. I know it doesn't mean nothing to you now. And Naomi, trust me, she didn't want to lose her kids and her husband either. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, that will never fade, reserved for you in heaven. He can bless you right now, and you're going to get old. You're going to watch your kids get old. You're going to watch your house crumble. You're going to watch your car. All those other things that you think he owes you now, they are going to fade away. There is one thing that doesn't fade away, by the way, the Word of God. Okay, but in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation already to be revealed in the last time, in this we greatly rejoice. Now, when I grew up, man, they always talked about the sweet by and by. But then something happened in our culture, and I heard preacher, I'm not worried about the sweet by and by. I'm worried about the now, you fool. I rejoice in. You go bury a family member who doesn't know Christ, and then bury one who does know Christ, you'll understand what I mean. In this we greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed with various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, that is your faith, may be found to result in the praise and the glory and the honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. It's not about you. I know that's a foreign idea to Americans because it's all about us. Even what happens in other countries is about us. Wait a minute. Greatly rejoice that little while these things are necessary, or if they're necessary, I go through these trials so that your faith's proven. I wrote down this, untested faith may be true faith. It's just weak faith. So that your faith can be proven. Why? To the glory of God. Notice how it's tested, like gold, through fire. Through fire. Can we like go through marshmallows or something a little easier? But remember, we all like to roast marshmallows. Paul had a similar problem. He had a continual, ongoing thing that he kept going to God. And God said, uh-uh.
That's the Hebrew.
But he said to me, he goes, I went to God 3 times to pray for this. This thorn in the flesh, some kind of physical infirmity. Oh, I can relate. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient. What's grace? His unmerited favor. My favor to you is so good. It's so sufficient. I don't care what pain you're in, Paul. That will carry you. I've experienced this one. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect, again, complete, in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness. What weakness? His infirmity in the flesh. In my case, I'm going to boast in the screws that hold my back together. I'm the only one here who wants to preach today, I can tell. Okay, in my weakness, so that the power of Christ will rest on me. Oh, wait. Demons obey him. Lepers get healed. Fevers get taken away. So much so that all the people around the area of Judea comes to see Christ and everybody's seeking after him. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, that power of Christ rests on me. When I rejoice in my weakness. Why? Because that's all I have left to rely on then. That is why, for Christ's sake, not your comfort. For Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults. Sometimes they hurt worse than the physical. In hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. In Deuteronomy, there's a statement when it talks, I think it's Asher, when Israel's blessing the kids, Asher, it says this, as your days, so shall your strength be. Huh? Whatever today gives you, God will be your strength. We look at this story and we've got to recognize Naomi's to the point where she's bitter and she says, God did not answer me. Don't even talk to me. Let me put it another way. I ain't got nothing to praise about. She's at that point. And I know sometimes in your life you're there. Yeah, it's easy for you, Pastor, to get up there this morning and praise God, but you have no idea what happened to me. I know you lost 2 boys and a husband. But His grace. Grace means this. He doesn't owe you any peace doing it. Amen. During your best. He doesn't owe you to get you out of it. He doesn't owe you any kind of joy in it, but His grace will do it. One thing you have to do is recognize God's sovereignty. See, because we'll run into it next week. When Ruth just happens by circumstance, accident, end up on the field of Boaz. Because she recognizes God in the misery is sovereign, guess what she does when she finds out that Ruth lands on that field? Oh, wait a minute. He's God over here, and he's sure God over here. Too often, we miss God in our daily life, in blessings we receive, because we haven't learned to see Christ in the suffering, and we don't see. Okay, my wife gets a parking spot at Fred Meyer when she goes groceries. She calls that God. I know y'all think that's weird. No, but see, it was my wife that was mowing the lawn, that was doing all the things I did when I laid on my back for 3 years, and she learned to praise God then. A parking spot's God too. Even if I just happened to land there, okay? If you will recognize God's sovereignty, I can't go through life. Recognize God's sovereignty even in your mess. Thank him for his sovereignty in your mess. Thank you that he's giving to you himself in the process. I'm not guaranteeing you, though, that he's going to heal your disease and you're going to come out of that okay. I'm not going to guarantee you you're going to run across the field of Boaz and get a benefactor. I'm not going to guarantee you that. I can guarantee you this. Suffer with him, you get to join with him in resurrection. Not that it earns that for me, okay? It prepares me for it. It, I'll say it this way, trains me to be resurrected.
Amen.
Okay, let's stand. Yeah, that was good preaching, Bill. You could say that. It's all right.
I thought so.
I could win another hour, so I'm being graceful. Maybe it's more merciful than grace. I don't know. All right. Father, as we sit and look at the story of a woman and her daughter-in-law, God, I don't know what to say sometimes to those who are in Naomi's place, but God, I thank you that I hear in Naomi's words that you are still in control, even in such great loss. Father, I pray for those right now that are suffering in Texas, in Florida, on the various islands that have been hit by the hurricanes. God, I ask you, God, to show yourself to them. Show yourself mighty. Show yourself sovereign. And Father, most of all, show them that your grace is sufficient. Father, why? For your name's sake. Not far. And it is in that name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcast. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho, 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.